Open your eyes. Wake up, Link.
I'm Luke Summerhayes.
I'm James J. Miles.
And I'm James the Jaster Stewart.
And you're listening to Hyrule Field Report. And Jess, what did we do last week?
Last week's episode, we were chatting wrap-up stuff, so it was we were chatting about shrines and side quests.
Indeed. But Jay, we're done with all that. What are we up to this week?
Well, this week, you can stick around, listeners. We're back in the main quest. This time, it's time, as the great Master Chief once said, to finish the fight.
Oh, yeah. So, last week we finished off in the depths with our good friend Master Koga.
You're a good friend. I don't know if I'd lump him in with my friend group.
Oh, come on, he's a good lad.
You're the Age
of Calamity fan here.
He is playable in that, that's true. Yeah, but then you hang out with Koga to get close to that cool Yiga guy. The sword one, the OC. He's cool in that game.
Right. And from him, we learned that Ganondorf is below Hyrule Castle.
Yes. Where we left them.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I haven't actually looked into this much. So Breath of the Wild, people made a big deal, right, of technically you could go and fight the final boss from the start.
Mm-hmm.
Is that possible in this game?
Yes.
Does it make you fight all five bosses first? Is that the trick?
It does.
Correct, yes.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what Breath of the Wild
I mean, does. That's how it worked in... Yeah. Exactly. In Breath of the Wild, when you get to the throne room, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Sanctum, or whatever it's called, you have to fight all the Blights, if you haven't fought them already. So, we'll talk about that as we get through this final gauntlet section, but you would have to have a showdown with each of the temple bosses, if you haven't squared off with them. So, I'd imagine, you know, all of that at a low level, plus the actual showdown with Ganondorf himself. I'd imagine it's very doable for people that are absolutely ridiculously cracked at this game, but for the humble sort amongst us, it's, I would say, probably even more challenging than Breath of the Wild's rush to the ending. Especially considering in Breath of the Wild, you could circumvent a lot of the actual run-up to the final gauntlet itself. This... Not so much.
Yeah.
And I've got a little story, but we'll come to that as we actually speak
parlance,
about the...
It's an indoor dungeon.
Yeah, I mean, dungeon is generous, but yes,
absolutely. But yeah, I guess it is, like Jazz just said there, what a surprise. Like, yeah, it's not literally in the castle like it was in Breath of the Wild, but it's pretty close. It might as well be.
I mean, you will...
It's just because of, like, the way the NPCs act in the game, like, you have that whole kind of showdown with,
where's
like,
the Demon
Ganon's,
King?
Like,
where could
Puppet
he be?
Zelda, and then where is he? Where did he go? Like, he's literally, like, probably, like, 200 feet away from that point in the story.
I figure, I mean, I already, as I tried to pop down there before I should have done, I'll speak about that later, but did... any of you take longer than you probably should have to work out where Ganondorf was, or was it pretty apparent?
I knew, but I didn't go down there. I waited until the game told me he was down there.
Right.
I did pop down there at one point, and then I realised that that just looks pretty big, so I was pretty sure that's where the end of the game was, so I made my way back.
Actually, I think I did pop down there and get as far as like the Lynel, and I was like, okay, yeah, this is clearly
like
a path
shrine or
that's
something down
somewhere.
There. You need to kind of.
There's a light route at the very
yeah.
top
or
of
a light
the.
Route, like, that's what I'm thinking of.
But it's at the very top off the start of your descent. Like, it's... Once you start your descent, there's no checkpoints allowed.
Because I think that's when I went down there, when I was like, I was in the depths, ticking off all the light routes.
Mm-hmm.
Collecting all the shrines on the surface and stuff like that. That's when I went down there.
Maybe this is just because I love the drama. Direction. But I would never warp to that light route to start the finale. I want to jump down the hole.
Yeah, I think that makes more sense, yeah. I mean, I think I did warp the light route because I was like, yeah, let's go. But absolutely, it would have been very cool to jump from the castle, like the surface.
Yeah, down. No, I
did do that, right? Even if you go by the light route, there's like still a bit of a journey ahead.
That's true. There's still
a bit. Oh, yeah.
Like I said, well, it's like being dropped right on top of the fight.
No, no, definitely not.
I have got a... the ones you can like place, the teleport marker thingy.
The
Tower Medallion. Literally every time we talk about Travel Medallions, I forget what they're called. I've got one placed just above the fight, so I could technically do that anytime I wanted.
Nice. Well, before we get to the fight properly, should we speak about our journey to the fight?
There's one more little thing I want to touch on before that.
Oh, sure thing.
When we talked about Hyrule Castle, we didn't actually mention this. Hyrule Castle is not actually flying.
Isn't it?
No, it's held up on a big rock. There's like a pillar of rock holding Hyrule Castle up.
Huh. I thought it was floating.
No, because, yeah, when you go to the, like, the chasm, you can see, like, a big central, like, pillar of stone is what's holding Hyrule Castle
parts
up.
Parts of the castle, though, like, kind of, because obviously it's all broken and kind of pulled apart a little bit, and at least some of them, like, floating up.
Not the Hyrule Castle,
Ganondorf,
no.
Like,
there's, obviously, there's a lot of the Zonai stuff is flying. And that first trailer of Tears of the Kingdom, back before you knew it was called Tears of the Kingdom, showed Hyrule Castle lifting, so it seemed like they were both part of the same thing, right? Stuff flying.
Yeah.
But it's not. This isn't actually flying. The Hyrule Castle, Ganondorf's just shunted it up by pushing the ground apart, but it's still physically attached to the ground.
Maybe just showing that, like, at that point in time, Ganondorf's like power wasn't at its full strength.
I think it's just it's a separate power than whatever power it is that the king's sister Minoru uses to make the Zonai stuff fly.
Right.
Because I remember when we first saw it because they showed Hyrule Castle fly up into the sky, and then the next trailer showed like all those sky islands. I think we all assumed, right, that bits of Hyrule had been ripped up and thrown into the sky.
Mm-hmm.
But that's actually not the case. Only Hyrule Castle has been lifted up, and the rest is Zonai stuff, which was presumably somewhere in the stratosphere during Breath of the Wild, but it's actually fallen down.
Yeah. Like, my reading on it all is that when we initially confronted Mummy Ganondorf, that there was like this massive wave of gloom energy that surged out, caused like chasms to erupt, and that's why there's gloom kind of pulling out amongst the surface.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then that gloom kind of pulling up caused some sort of atmospheric disturbance, caused the Zonai stuff to fall down slightly. And
yeah, I also wonder if maybe it's because we moved Rauru's hand that was like holding Ganondorf at bay. Maybe it was also his magic was partly what was keeping the Sky Islands afloat.
Every chance, yeah. I mean, that makes sense if they want that to be then bring the hero that they know is going to come from the sky down to Earth again, right? Like that. Yeah, what a column A, column B. Makes sense.
What were you going to say, Jess?
I was just going to say, like, I assumed like maybe the Zonai or the Great Sky Islands and stuff like that was maybe like first thought when I was playing the game that it was like ripped out from the depths area, like that all the Zonai stuff was like underground.
Oh, and like it shot out from the chasm.
Through the chasms up into the sky.
Yeah, that could also work. Because obviously in Minoru's time it was flying. And there is that little kid in Breath of the Wild who says like, oh, there's a sky city, but no one believes me.
Yeah, the reason, like, another reason, like, I thought that is obviously, like, you see in the flashback memories, like, you see moments of the Temple of Time and it's on Hyrule's office.
But then we read
the tablets.
The tablets, and they lifted it up. Yeah.
And they left it up, yeah.
But definitely at the start of the game, I could see why you would think that. Shall we dump down the big hole?
Into Gloom's Approach.
Hyrule Castle Chasm.
Yes. And big drop. And it almost reminds me of like some sort of big tree that we're going into. Like, it feels like there's roots and things like that that are kind of... Mm. And I know it's probably just the rock and everything being warped, but it reminds me of... and I've not actually put any money in this jar for a while, so I'm gonna donate something here. It reminds me of going into the deep root depths in Elden Ring.
A friend of mine, he's recently been playing Dark Souls for the first time post mm-hmm. Tears of the Kingdom, was comparing the hole depths to like Ash Lake.
Okay.
Because you find all the old Link stuff down there. He suggested that maybe the depths is like somehow convergent, and all the different Zelda timelines have the same depths, sort of thing. Like it's a slightly an afterlife or something.
Yeah.
Which I think I like that headcanon.
Yeah. It's maybe probably a little bit more esoteric.
Armor's down there, right? So
thinks, but...
makes sense.
Mm-hmm. The reason I thought the Deep Root Depths was that's where all the like the Death Blight stuff is in an Elden Ring.
Mm.
And the Gloom, obviously, evokes that quite heavily.
There are like the big sort of twisting, twirling, gnarled, like Gloom tendons, which are very tree root. And then, there is that central pillar of rock I was just talking about, which is kind of like a big tree trunk.
Big tree, But this is basically,
shall we say?
Oh, I missed that, sorry, Jazz.
I'm saying the roots of evil, shall we say?
Hey. this is a one big enemy gauntlet. Pretty much is what we're going to be engaging with here.
It's also not like that obvious where you go. It's like just a little cave to the side.
Yeah, it's like a tunnel, right?
Yeah,
like,
there's a couple
you,
of
the way you kind of
couple of. Like-likes sort of give it away.
Yeah. That's... You're looking for enemies for where to kind of progress to next, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's your kind of... Because the gloom and the rock and everything, it's it all twists and gnarls and loops in on itself a little bit. That's where you're kind of just trying to spot, okay, where's the next enemy? Okay, I'll go that direction. Okay, that's the path I need to follow. So it's quite a cool design in that sense. But it's... Yeah, coming down here, one thing I did want to say is that I think, partly because I'd done a little run through this place, and I'll speak about that once we've covered what you face down here, but because I kind of knew what to expect, I really prepared heavily for the run down here. Mm. It really felt like gearing up for a final battle, whereas I didn't feel like I had to do that as much in Breath of the Wild. Like, I just felt like I put my best weapons... had some like truffle food in my backpack in case I needed it, and just sieged the castle for my last run through of the Hyrule Castle bit in Breath of the Wild.
I
made sure I had like.
I also have a getting prepared story for later on, but I do remember in Breath of the Wild I did get very stocked up, but I don't know if I ended up needing it. Whereas
this one, I was like
kind of over-prepared.
Yeah.
Kind of
feeling I've done this for this game as well.
I didn't feel like over-preparing for this last charge, though, because like it is pretty tough. Like, because all the enemies...
I think I did based on food items that I needed, just because, in general, like while playing the game, I always seemed to be out of food, so when I was going into the final battle, I'm like, right, I'm going to make sure I'm like fully stocked as much as possible.
I think it's interesting because this, you need basically two types of food, right? You need health recovery, but you also need gloom recovery as well, because all the enemies down here are
gloom. I guess I'll say it now then. I made a shed load of health recovery,
mm-hmm.
forgot about gloom.
Oh dear. oh no.
basically got to the final boss and was like, oh, I don't actually have recovery for this.
Ouch.
But luckily I had made that travel medallion and saved.
Ah, okay, okay.
So I was able to, like, okay, I'm going to pop up. I'm going to...
just point it to the final boss. One second, please. Just, I'll be back.
Cooked up all the Sunderlions I'd been gathering up.
Mm.
And then, yeah, came back actually prepared.
But, yeah, so after we kind of pass through, there's Lycklice, and I think there's Keese and things like that. Horriblins and such. The first kind of big encounter room as such is, it's this room where, like, the entrance and the exit of the room are kind of higher up, but when you drop down, you're in a kind of a little, almost like an arena of sorts with a white Lynel.
Yes.
Malice, Gloom white Lynel as well, so.
I think I said this before, yeah. Right? Gloom and Malice actually would make more sense the other way around. Because Gloom more actively hurts you than the Malice did in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
But obviously they didn't know they were going to do a second one when they named the one in Breath of the Wild.
Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, I do think the names actually would have made more sense if this mm-hmm. one was called Malice and that one was called Gloom.
Yeah.
And yeah, this Lynel fight, like, I think I was obviously well prepared for this first run through. When I was running down here, I panicked. I was like, oh god, oh no, oh fuck, anything but this, please.
See, I actually I barely fought any Lynels in Tears of the Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the Lynel fight, so I was actually really happy to have a sort of, you know, a main quest Lynel battle to do.
Mm-hmm. And emulating a bit of Breath of the Wild, right? Because you had the Lynels at the gatehouses and you were charging up and sieging the castle through the front door.
Yeah. The Lynel is still a really good fight, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's so many ways to fight it as well.
Yeah.
Makes it look really good.
And you can just, like, you know, fight it with honor. Just take it head on, parry, dodge. Use all your moves. That's why I think I said this when we talked about the Gleok. I prefer the Lynel as, like, a challenge monster to the Gleok, because you're just using, like, your moves.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Gleok feels more like having lots of gear and weapons is how you beat one.
I think that's getting a bit sidetracked here, but I do think that's an interesting.
Oh yeah, it is.
Choice of design. Like, they didn't want to just make another Lynel skill fight.
Yeah, because you wouldn't have just been using the same skills, right?
Yeah, that's it.
And preparing and gathering is a major gameplay element of
mm-hmm.
Like these two games, so it does make sense to have a boss based on it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I do get you there.
So, fortunately, as you're fighting with this Lynel, you can have all your sage buddies backing you up. But as you advance through a couple more rooms, like past some Lycklikes and stuff, you'll reach another kind of, it's this big wide chamber with stairs and things going down. So it's interesting seeing the path that Link and Zelda obviously had to travel to go down beneath the castle initially. And we'll get to some very familiar territory in a moment or two.
It's all kind of crumbling, like there's literally one or two bits where you step onto a big stone bridge and it falls down under you. So presumably when Zelda and Link came down, maybe it was more intact and they could have taken the extra step.
I'd imagine the upheaval caused some upheaval. But yeah, once you enter this kind of big wide chamber of sorts, you get a pop-up coming up saying, "The power of the sages cannot reach you here."
Mm. Actually, and, interestingly, maybe this is a slight translation-y weirdness. It says, "The power of a sage can't reach you here." But that's just a slightly weird wording.
I guess it's covering for if you've only done one dungeon, you say to move down here. Or
Just the fact that, like me, where I'm not always, like, rolling with like all of the sages out at the same time. I usually just shoot like one or two.
Yeah, well, yeah, because that same message could play even if you didn't have any out. It's just letting you know.
Correct.
Yeah. By the way, the power of a sage won't reach you here.
And I think it was a really strong bit of design choice them doing that. Not just to kind of up the challenge of this gauntlet run,
but because of the moment they get to give you in a minute.
That too, but also the kind of building dread of all. Mm-hmm. You're like, you're really stepping down into, you know, evil's lair here. The light's not going to reach you down here, son. Yes. You're all alone.
I just do want to mention, just after the room where the bridge collapses, there's mm-hmm. another room with like a couple of, you're already at the bottom and you see some bridges collapse down to where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
You have to use recall to get back up. And it's one of the first moments in the game where I messed up my recall so bad that I ran out the timer and I couldn't get the blocks up there.
Oh, shit.
So I had to, like...
How did you advance?
You can get up there by, like, climbing a little bit this way, doing a little ascend, climb a little bit that way, glide across, do another ascend. But it takes...
Made it much more difficult.
Yeah, it takes, like, 5 minutes instead of 5 seconds, yeah.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, there's another, like tunnel, and then we get to the bit you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you advance a bit further, and there'll be another room where once you kind of go down this big wide chamber, there's lots of like Lizalfos and Bokoblins, and I remember kind of going round stairs and kind of winding my way down to the bottom of this chamber.
Yeah, the structure reminds me a lot of the dungeons under the labyrinths.
Yeah? Yeah, I can see that.
And yeah, there's a big section where there's a stairwell winding all the way around this really long chasm down. But you basically just dive through the middle of it. There's no actual obligation to fight your way down this whole stairwell. But it's completely lined with enemies. There's little treasure rooms all the way down.
Yeah.
And I'm sure 99% of players will experience none of it.
Stuff that you can pick up.
Yeah.
I think I fought my way down. I think I was enjoying this final gauntlet. I was, you know, because I'd bought like a lot of souped up weapons and things and like fused lots of stuff and had a really good setup. I was enjoying just the thrill of, let's battle our way down here. It's good.
But yeah, you do kind of have to actively choose to do that because the game just drops you.
Yeah. Which I suppose helps if you're doing a panic run to the bottom just to speedrun the fight. Speedrun the game. But for me, that was in full roleplay mode going, we're going to take down the evil armies. We're going to destroy Gundam. Yeah, like the Doomslayer here. At the very bottom of this room, and I think this happens regardless if you drop all the way down with the stones you were talking about, Luke, or if you battle your way down, there'll be some gloom hands that will appear quickly. Which is a lovely surprise.
Yeah, that's
surprise you didn't turn up earlier in this gauntlet, but
they are mentioned on the walkthrough I looked at and the map.
Mm-hmm.
I did not encounter them.
Maybe you just
you have to
drop down and run past.
You can get up, you can get drop down, and you can climb up real quick with ascend. There's like a moblin waiting at the top. Mm-hmm. You have to kind of hang about in that room a little bit for the gloom hands to show up.
Fair. Obviously, you can force another Phantom Ganon encounter here if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Which, again, of course I did. I was having too much fun. I was like, yeah, let's take down another boss. Let's do it.
Get a last little bit of practice
one
in.
One of those Demon King bows.
Oh, yeah. Not that I did bring enough of those already into the final encounter.
As you mentioned,
those are probably better than the Demon King bow. But I just like I'd been hoarding them for so long because I waited till I had max hearts to do it because of the way they work.
The more health you have.
Yeah, now's the time to use them. I am not one of those sorts that tries to hoard elixirs and things. Like even, well, I do for a good chunk of the game, like in Final Fantasy and so on, but when it gets to the final encounters and it's clear that we're getting to the end game, I'll start popping those like pills. I'll start using all the best items and things, because when else are you going to use them, right?
Yep. I do have a bad habit of doing that. But I've been getting better at it as I get. I also have a habit of like getting into my head that using an item is cheating. And I have to remind myself, like, no, games are designed for you to use the items.
Exactly.
I think it comes from Bayonetta.
It depends on the game, right? Like, there's a lot of games out there that just like, they throw a whole load of stuff at you, and it's like, especially if it's got like kind of crafting.
But also, like platinum games like Bayonetta, you get a lower score if you use any items in the level.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So that's taught me, but like, that's... No, but I shouldn't use my health. I should be able to do it without taking any damage.
But the difference between a character action game where there is actually mechanics built in that, you know, incentivizes you not to use items, and something like a Final Fantasy or a Zelda, mm-hmm. where the game's like, yeah, do what you want. We're not stopping you.
Although in Zelda it is borderline possible to character action your way through the fights without taking damage. Especially like against a Phantom Ganon and to an extent the final boss. But when you're fighting the Gloom Hands or like a room full of monsters, of course you're meant to take a little bit of damage and use your health potions. That's why there's a whole cooking mechanic in the game. So it is just
But you're not going to
a doofus.
You're not going to get a disembodied voice saying "smoking sexy style" after you take them down. So
one thing I do feel bad about though, like, is like when you cause it in Zelda games, it pauses the action when you're having to heal. Like, I hate that kind of side of it. Like,
that's because you're a Monster Hunter fan.
Kind of use it. Breaks up the floor
there. I mean, people, since Breath of the Wild came out, right, one of the big complaints has been in the middle of a fight, you can just snarf 400 apples and get your health back. It kind of does eliminate a sense of danger sometimes. I think we've talked about this before, the introduction of the gloom damage did go some way to mitigating that. Because you have to, like, specifically cook effective food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But still, you can end up with a whole page of Sunderlion-based meals, and it ends up not being an issue.
Once we kind of get past this section, we enter the Forgotten Foundations, which will be very, very familiar, of course, by this point. As this is where you begin the game.
Yeah, this is such a cool moment.
Where it all began.
And I love a game that does this. Takes you right back to the start at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I think we even mentioned at the start of the game, yeah, there's these big murals, and there's some what look like breakable rocks in front of parts of it, but we can't see it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can see behind there.
Yes.
And it literally shows like the full events of all of Zelda's adventures in the past. Even down to her becoming a dragon.
Yeah. So I may as well talk about this now. So I came here to the I got pretty much to just after this room after beating like my first dungeon. I said, I wonder what's down here. And then I kept going, and then I realised, oh wait, this isn't just some dungeon or like a cave. I think I'm going to the final boss.
Right.
and then I was like, there was that moment of like a real moment of conflict within me where I was going, I really shouldn't. But I kind of want to keep going, see what's down here.
You really did go for it, man. I stopped before the Lino. Since I saw the Lino, I'm like, this is probably the end.
I was.
I mean, that's the point where I was. I think I was around that point. I was kind of thinking, yeah, I shouldn't be here. But that little sneaky that sneaky part of me that sometimes reads the last page of a book before I should, was like, God, have a look. What's the harm? What's the harm? Exactly. And I did. I sprinted like a headless chicken, like panicking so much, eating all my food to try and stay alive, basically nearly getting one shot. If I got hit by the Lynel or the Gloomhands, it was probably GG at that point. Came across the, because I'm sure there's a few Gibdos as well before you get to this Forgotten Foundation. And I was like, what the fuck is that? What are they? Because I hadn't come across them by this point.
The very last,
because I'm sure.
The very last tunnel before the room from the start of the game, I think, is just like a little corridor of Gibdos. And now that I have fire weapons and I know how Gibdos work, it was like, no problem.
Yeah, I think I just swung a sword at them and then it just bounced. I was like, no, 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 not this. Because I'm sure...
The meringue set up.
I wish I did. But I'm sure when you asked, like, at the beginning, like, about those... Like, I wonder if we'll go back there or something like that.
You'd already done this.
You mentioned the murals being covered. I think I made a coy comment or something like that, going, I wonder, like, something like that. Because I'd already been down here by this point. And... used some bomb flowers and revealed what is beneath the last few murals. Fortunately,
you were not able for to interpret
I didn't interpret it that, like, I kind of, fortunately, I knew, like, I kind of understood the first two, like, that made some sense. But the last one, which really is a big spoiler, if you had come down here early, I didn't really understand it. Maybe it was just slightly too dark and I didn't use a torch or something, or I didn't fully parse it, but I didn't manage to spoil
too much
moment.
Detail in case.
I think that's partly it as well. I think I was like, I maybe shouldn't be looking at these yet. Yeah, I think that's probably right, Jas. Yeah. But yeah, on that note, shall we speak about what the hidden three murals actually reveal?
So when we were here the first time, you could see the one of, like, the Demon King over a woman who we didn't know the identity of when we were at the very start of the game.
We couldn't see that one.
Oh, okay.
So that's
I feel
that's
like that one
right.
must
so
be in,
one...
like, a lot of promotional art or something. Because I had definitely seen it early on.
Yeah, the only... There's eight murals total. We could only see the first five. So... The first one is Rauru with the secret stones, loads of Hellions below him. The second one kind of depicts the wedding of Rauru and Sonya. The third one is Ganondorf stealing a sacred stone off a woman. Mm. At the point, we didn't know that was Sonya.
Oh, no, yeah,
we
didn't know that's the one I'm talking
about. She was killed. Yes, sorry,
because
yes.
I distinctly remember assuming it was Zelda.
Ah, okay.
You
right,
know, Ganondorf
gotcha.
Doing some sort of black magic over a lady.
Mm-hmm.
Usually he's got intentions over Zelda, right?
That would make sense, yeah. But no, we now know that's Sonya. And the last that we could see is lots of monsters fighting Hellions. And then we see... It's a kind of a big mural. We could see the second part of it is... Ganondorf, but in his Demon King form, we just assume it's Ganondorf at this point. But kind of leading the army of monsters.
Yeah, that one,
but the final
sort of large scale mural is very similar to the Breath of the Wild tapestry.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
The one I thought you were talking about is the sixth mural, which is this really eerie-looking depiction of the Demon King Ganondorf fighting the sages.
Mm.
And Zelda is there. She's one of the sages that are fighting amongst them. I think it's kind of hard to tell that it's Zelda. You might have just...
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious to us now, but I don't necessarily think it would have been a giveaway if we'd seen it at the start.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. But yeah, it's them and Rauru. Rauru at the front. You can kind of see Zelda and Minoru flanking him, and then the other four races flanking
King
them.
King Sister Minoru.
That's right. Okay. Sorry, I forgot her title. Apologies. but yeah, the depiction of of Ganondorf is really creepy. Like, it's in case you've forgotten, I am going to pop a link in our chat. Again, apologies, listeners. This is a great audio listening, but yeah, just look up Mural 6 or something like that, and you'll see what I'm talking about. But it is proper freaky looking.
It's very
like,
Aztec god.
Yeah,
Which, getting
it
back into
reminds
the
me.
Zonite artwork, sort of having that vibe.
I'm
like
just.
That's like a top-down view, that like that picture, that of the mural, like almost like Ganondorf's like evilly looking to the sky.
Suppose,
Yeah, I can see it that way.
yeah.
It's also got
I
quite
kind of see
Twilight
him as
Princess-y
him.
vibes as well.
I kind of see it as him charging towards them, like head on. Like his hair billowing out behind them. But like, I think what it reminds me of, I just clocked what it reminds me of, is have you seen the film The Babadook?
I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah.
Quite a little
Like, just like the picture book version of The Babadook that you see. It's got that kind of like real horror vibes to it, this picture of Ganondorf. So, yeah, freaky stuff.
Yeah, old like mythological like tale, like in a kid's picture book style. Yeah, I can see that.
And when I saw this, I think, yeah, when I initially saw this, I thought, oh God, are we going to fit like some Eldritch Abomination version of Ganondorf in the final fight? Like, is he going to like
Well,
power up and
that's kind of
become.
what we fought in Breath of the Wild.
I suppose, yeah. The Dark Beast, right? And or the Calamity, you mean?
Where he's just a
Yeah.
bunch of stuff stuck together. So I'm glad that we didn't fight purely a sort of vague beast this time. It was more of a dude. Spoilers for in
Yeah,
5 minutes on this podcast.
I think what we got was much
I
better,
think what
yes.
we got was great as a sort of as a response to Breath of the Wild, in a way. Like the two games are entirely are always in conversation with each other, I think.
So the seventh mural, which was hidden, depicts Zelda, and she's at the Temple of Time. This is where she sends the Master Sword back in time. Again, having knowledge of the game's opening, you could probably piece together what happened here. But the last one is where the big spoiler comes in, and it's all the kind of races of Hylia, of Hyrule rather, looking at a dragon flying up into the sky, and you can see the Master Sword or a sword embedded into the dragon's forehead. It doesn't make it clear it's Zelda. Like, so it doesn't really spoil anything, and that's why even if you see it, like, rush down here and see it, it's not gonna ruin the game or ruin that moment for you. It didn't for me, obviously,
Right.
but
Did
you
you
might be
guess
able to
that
piece it
that was
together.
telling you where the Master Sword was?
I don't think I clocked the sword. Do
Ah,
you know
okay.
that?
It is pretty small, so.
Yeah, it's a fairly
It could
small
just be
part of
like a
me.
horn or something if you didn't know.
Yeah, like I thought maybe this is telling me something about the light dragon or something like that, but don't know what. And clearly my dumb head was panicking too much about being down here far, far, far earlier than I should have done. So that was all that was going through my head. But yes, very cool that you can come down here and kind of see what's behind those. Nice payoff, I think.
So when you came down here, sorry, you said you had to break the rocks with bombs.
Yes.
Because when you come here as part of the ending, they're pre-broken, I think.
Are they?
Oh, are they just
I
broken
don't think
because I broke them the
so.
first time I came here? And they've stayed broken.
Maybe.
When I
I don't
came
remember breaking stuff
when I
like
came through
rocks.
last night, I could see all of the murals.
Well,
So maybe you
Wiki
just
says
break
when
them
Link
once and
returns
they.
to the Forgotten Foundation, he can break the sediment, revealing three additional panels.
Oh, I
So you
guess I
have to
just
break
didn't
it
respawn.
yourself. Yeah.
That's sort of like. That's a very minor thing, but we know that they have to be very particular about what they let stay changed. So it's interesting that that's one of the things they've let stay changed. Because, I've had a dozen Blood Moons since I last played the ending, and it's still broken.
Yeah, maybe they assumed that you'd only be here once.
Yeah.
So
No, but that would even be more of a
figuring
reason
that
not to bother making it a permanent change.
out. That's a fair point as well. Didn't think about that. Yeah. Yes, but
Yeah, you
when you
can.
drop down initially, you see this it looks like some sort of
Well,
red,
like I said, just before that, so
like,
yeah,
hellscape.
from the room we were just in, from the start of the game, you can go through to the chasm which opened, which we first saw Link and Zelda fall down, and Link was saved by Rauru's arm, and Zelda teleported into the past. You can now just dive down there, and I love this little touch. The torch is at the bottom there. There's a little torch to find, which Link dropped, or Zelda dropped, at the very start of the game.
I didn't know that. That's really
Yeah.
cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really.
And obviously it's still there because I never have space in my inventory to pick up a torch. It's a cute little touch. But then, yeah, you could they so
Yeah.
there's from there where they originally would have landed, you could walk a little further and there's another jump point. And that is where I leave my travel medallion.
Oh yeah,
Yeah,
it's not like drop down, but yeah.
like it's one of
Sure,
those
it's
literal
saved
bits where you can
at
walk
some
up to
point.
it and it gives you the prompt jump.
Yeah.
And you can do the cool dive.
I think I didn't get as far as that in my initial one. I thought, okay, I probably should go back now. I think I just saw some sort of red, hellish orbs looking thing below me and thought, yeah,
Yeah.
no more of this, please. But yeah, it's. I'll get to what happens when you do drop down there, but the actual kind of bottom of all this, it really does feel like you're at the bottom of the earth.
Yes.
Like, it. There's something I don't know what it is in games, but there's something about like going to a place that feels like you shouldn't be there. Like this is a cursed place. You're not allowed to be here. It always really itches a part, it tickles a part of my brain that I always really enjoy that part in a climax of a game. It's not, you know, it's not a location you're familiar with. It's forbidden, and this feels like, yeah, this place is wrong. You should not be here. And it was a perfect for me, a perfect culmination of this drop. And for me, why? Yes, there's probably technically a lot more things you can do around Hyrule Castle in Breath of the Wild. And maybe as a gameplay experience of exploring Hyrule Castle, that was, you know, took more time, was more engaging. But for pure story vibes, this whole final gauntlet and then everything that happens after we drop down to the bottom, yeah, I loved it. I love this whole part of the
Yeah,
game.
well, it's also in Breath of the Wild, the castle, you can take like a stealth approach and basically not fight anything. And there's not really an option of doing that in Tears. Yeah, I guess you could run past a lot of enemies. But Tears of the Kingdom is more of a linear battle gauntlet to get down here. And yeah, I like. There's a lot of points where like they could have just done Breath of the Wild again. And they tend to do something slightly different. And this is one of those. If it had been too similar to the castle from Breath of the Wild, I don't think I would have liked it as much. But I think that
Yeah,
you're
it's
talking
just
about that
done before,
feeling
right?
of
Like you go.
I shouldn't be here. It's something that games can deliver sort of very uniquely compared to almost any other medium. Like something like a Metroidvania, you know, like Metroid is famous for that sensation of I am alone on an alien planet. And maybe in the hands of a very good director, like a Alien does that. But the way a game can make you feel that, I think, is very strong.
Yeah, I think it's just down to the fact that you get to physically explore like that 3D space. It's like a big factor.
Well, yeah, and I
You're picking where you're going, and you're not just like it's not just a camera following
Yeah, horror
location.
games can get to me a lot more than horror films, and I think it's because I have to make that decision to keep walking.
You're in that space. Yeah.
Like, if I don't push forwards, then the character's not going to walk into that room and get attacked by that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that like a lot in Alien Isolation.
Oh, I bet. That's a
It
game I
was
know I can
like
never play.
just like stuck in this locker in this hallway for like 10 minutes waiting for the alien to disappear. So you can make your run for it and then you don't want to. Such a great feeling.
No, thank you. My heart rate would not appreciate it. I tell you what, my heart rate did appreciate and was a proper, you know, fist pump the air moment. It's what happens when you land at the very bottom here.
Yep. Suddenly a whole bunch of enemies start spawning. But then so do a couple of allies. And we get...
Yeah, more than a couple.
Yep, the whole squad.
We get
our final sort of Hyrule Warriors moment. And this time it's...
Yeah, like the Monster Patrol crew, right?
Yeah. It's Link and all five sages battling it out with basically Ganondorf's army.
It says at the top, the Demon King's army. That's who we're fighting.
And it even gives gives us the overall
health bar.
I like
that many enemies like
chest.
In front of me. I just like straight away equip my cannon boomerang. We're just like launching bombs at them from a distance and watching the fucking fly.
The very first thing I did was target the boss moblin and hit him with a muddle bud, so I had one extra ally.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's some muddle bud stuff as well.
And I think for me, in pure story head, I had the Hyrule Shield and the Master Sword equipped.
I had the Hyrule Shield and Master Sword equipped to take a photo, then equipped a different shield so I wouldn't break.
Full roleplay mode.
I always do these big story moments in Champions Tunic, Hyrule Greaves. Mm. I've got to look like what Link should look like in my head.
Yeah.
So I do get that roleplay thing, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I expected like an armor, say, Champions Tunic with the Link's boots. Champion of Time or something.
And it
like a mix of stuff, but it's still kind of in my head. It's still like
Yeah.
I think I used the champion to stop the upgraded version you get that you find in Hyrule Castle. Mm-hmm. And I think I used the Hyrule's hood for the headpiece, but the tailored version, so the hood's because that also changes Link's hairstyle to Breath of the Wild hair, which like where he's got it tied up, which I like. I think that was a cool look for him.
Yeah, well, that's the look he has on like most of the official art for this game. So, yeah, in my head, that is the canon Link for Tears of the Kingdom.
But it's multiple waves.
Yeah,
it's not
so
just
it's,
that initial wave.
First, it's just the goblins. Then it's a wave of
Lizalfos.
Then it's Gibdos.
Yep.
And then it's Moblins.
Yes.
More obstacles in our path, but our foe is mistaken if he thinks this will stop us.
We are fated to fight these beasts. Don't worry about us.
And then after all that, it's the temple bosses. They all appear. However, because we've done everything, we don't have to fight those, mercifully. All the sages turn around and say, "We got this, Link! We'll do this!" I don't know which character that was, but that was one of them. Yunobo, maybe. And yeah, but I imagine, not that I've done this myself, but I would imagine this would be the point where you have to do your boss gauntlet to take down the four nasties sort of yourself.
Sort of a battle speed run. Absolutely right. As the one where the boss gauntlet from the temple bosses at the start.
That makes sense.
I'm assuming it's one at a time, right?
Like they it's don't one, just it's one at a time. It's one after
all,
yeah.
No, I don't
technically remember the order, but all I know is like the evil one is first.
Because that would have been madness if they'd somehow got all four to work at the same time. Pretty much impossible, but would have been hilarious to see that.
Really great as well, using the like, real wind to go up and like, fire a lightning arrow that you couldn't get them.
Yeah.
be too much for the old switch though, I think.
don't think it would manage, so.
But yeah, we don't, thankfully, have to do that. And then, yeah, so as they start fighting him, we're fighting them, now with five sages fighting the five bosses, rocks fall down and basically create a barrier so that we can't go back and help them.
Yeah.
I guess because that would force them to have to render in real time that battle as Link's walking away, which would have been insane. Would have been very cool, but...
Percentage.
We've got swords clashing in the background.
We've got a bigger fish to fry.
Yes. So we have one final little tunnel to walk down. And you can see at the end of this path, like, this red... I don't even know how to describe it. Like, this big platform.
Gnarled throne.
Yeah, like a throne, I guess, is the way to say it.
The gnarled throne.
Yeah, it's very cool. Then approach that, and the cutscene kicks in.
It's like an instant screenshot.
I wanted to get close enough, but you get too close, the cutscene activates. But I have now managed to get a good screenshot. And that screenshot might be the album artwork for the episode after this.
Are we calling it there?
I think that's a cool place to call it.
I think so. Yeah, you're going to have to come back and join us next time to see what happens when we go mano-a-mano against the Demon King Ganondorf. But until then, I think the listeners need to know where they can find us if they don't already know. So take it away, Luke.
Yeah, this podcast is on Twitter at Hyrule Field Pod. We're also on Facebook. Look up Hyrule Field Report Podcast. We're on YouTube, Hyrule Field Report. You can send us an email at HyruleFieldReport@gmail.com. Please do get in touch. This episode you're hearing now should be around April 13th. So next episode will be April 20th. 420, baby! That's when we're going to be killing Ganondorf. So on April 27th, we'll be doing our... we'll be releasing our wrap-up episode with listener questions and listeners' thoughts. So if you've got anything to say to us, do get in touch. Probably our deadline will be April 25th. So please hit us up with your emails, tweets, Facebook messages. Let us know what we got wrong, what we got right, what bits of the game we didn't talk about that you wish we had. Just your general thoughts about Tears of the Kingdom and any questions you want us to answer.
Inflate our ego as well.
Oh, yeah. Go on. Tell us we're good boys.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can do that by going to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, leaving a 5-star rating and a review. If you've got friends who played Tears of the Kingdom who might want to relive it or who are playing through it right now, send them our way.
Yeah. And we'll send you on your way, but not until we've had some sage words of advice from our main man, Jazz.
Yeah. Since we're making use wait as well for that final episode, just remember, good things come to those who wait.
They certainly do. Well, until then, catch us next time.
Cheerio.
Soar long!